You're listening to Paris Live Radio. More Paris, more live, and more radio.
Well, the Frick Show on Paris Live Radio with Max and Stacey. It's 11:18 in Paris. Just checking the newswire. Looks like the FTSE's going to open up big this morning. The events of yesterday not making a dent in the progress of the corporate model to destroy the environment. Yeah, because all the corporations are hedged. You know, the cost of hedging their assets is free because the cost of money is free. So the corporations aren't going to really lose out on this thing, as we've been saying. They're fully hedged. They're protected. However, us on the street, we're at risk. Us in the climatological hot zone, we're at risk. You know, our environment's being destroyed. The rich people are hedged. They're getting richer. Total class war. Total market manipulation. And the Frick Show chronicles this disgusting trend
for you. Did you see actually yesterday? Apparently, they reached an agreement at Glen Eagles to take action on climate change, but they refused to set any limits. They agreed that action will need to be taken at some point.
Yeah, well, that's a big nothing burger. Well, that's one of my predictions has come true. Uh-huh. I said that this summit, the G8 summit, a couple of things will happen. Number one, there'll be no really substantive conclusion on climate change and global warming. That appears to be true. Mm-hmm. Two, there's going to be no substantive debt relief or economic aid for Africa that's not contingent upon allowing the bad guys in to do more corporate damage anyway. That also appears to be true.
Yeah, but it seems very Geldofian. You know what I mean? They agreed to feel bad about it, but not to do anything about it. As long as, you know, Tony Blair gets his knighthood for convincing Bush to agree that there should be action someday.
Yeah, man, that's pretty progressive. Yeah. What a bunch of ass wipes up there. Bunch of
exactly.
Ass clowns. Yeah, so we're boiling to death. We're burning to death. We're living in the global Earth / Auschwitz thanks to these corporate no-goodniks.
Mm-hmm.
And when something like yesterday happens, which is a direct result of these markets being horribly imbalanced, it's bankers versus bankers. You know, the FTSE's racing ahead because it's a huge GDP boost, a huge marketing and opportunity for the corporations to rebuild all the stuff that they themselves blew up. Everyone else, of course, has to suffer. Higher taxes, poor services. Unless you live in France, of course, they seem to have the balance right. Great services. And, you know, it's a higher quality of life. They work hard to maintain and increase the quality of life. They do a good job of it. That's why we're in France. You have the option to live in France. You have the option to live like a civilized person. You live in the U.S. or the U.K., you're living like a dog. Unless you're building forts around yourself and you're a hedge fund manager, in which case you got to look over your shoulder all day long because you're perpetrating a faulty model that's killing people, killing the environment. Well, we promised to talk about Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yes. Speak out. Oh, right. See, I would have forgotten about it again. Now, he says that the reason for the London bombings is because the G8... He said it's a leftist organization.
All right. Well, this is like Senator Scrotum. This is as bad as Senator Scrotum. It's comparing women and the abortion issue to slavery.
Well, he's right that the bombing happened because of the G8 and their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying that they have this leftist agenda now for helping Africans and trying to save the climate.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's breathtaking.
Uh-huh.
When you have somebody, the huge media mouthpiece, who comes out and says something that's is like Dr. Goebbels, like in propaganda and damage. You know, it's literally just like you might as well replay those tapes from the late 30s of all the Hitler Youth rallies, because this is what, you know, Rush is basically calling to arms for all the stupid people. To continue to wage war against themselves in the form of a diminished environment. It's shocking, you know, and people applaud this, of course, in the States. If you're outside of the States, it's amusing. Now, as you know, we've got a bit of a money raise thing going on here. We're trying to raise some money to fly Stacey and myself to Baghdad to the Green Zone, because apparently a lot of these right-wing talk show hosts are going to fly to the Green Zone and take a look at the situation firsthand. And once they enter the Green Zone, they've entered the zone of no law, a lawless zone, which will then give us an opportunity to take these right-wing talk show hosts out, and it's going to help our ratings. So we're going to fight fire with fighter. We want to improve our ratings. We're going to get rid of the competition. We're doing it the American style. So meet me in the Green Zone, Rush. Send in your money to thefrickshow@gmail.com is the email address. I see also that something's going on with Rush here in the news. A Florida judge released some medical records of the conservative commentator Rush Limbaugh to prosecutors on Wednesday, allowing them to move forward in a long-stalled investigation into whether Mr. Limbaugh illegally bought painkillers. Did you see that?
Yeah. But I guess this is why he talks about the GA, to distract from his own drug addiction. And famously, he used to condemn, you know, he used to say that we should bring in the death sentence for drug addicts.
Oh, did he say that?
Maybe that's why he's going to Baghdad, because this is like his way. He knows we're about to go there and kill him.
Yeah, he wants to get that on TV.
Instinctively.
He get it on TV, the scheme we proposed before the break.
Uh-huh.
To get pay-per-view, like on Time Warner or AOL.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through the liveshot.com website and track down Rush in real time. Pay $30, track down Rush in the Green Zone. Okay, that sounds like a fantastic opportunity. And he is kind of a big buffoon and a clown, so it's good for the kids. Kids will love it. They're already been weaned on these other video games where you shoot and maim and kill people. So, you know, Rush is just another cartoon character. He's left planet Earth many years ago. He's just a caricature of himself, of a right-wing, bloated, donut-munching nincompoop. So there he will be in the Green Zone. He's open season on Rush in the Green Zone through the openseasononrush.com. This is the name of the website. You can track Rush down with live shot technology. And, you know, we want to be there to make it all happen. So send us any contributions you may have for us. And we'll meet Rush in the Green Zone.
We've raised €7 so far. Of the 35,000 we need.
Oh, that's all we got so far?
You know, because that drive into Baghdad is really expensive.
Oh, yeah, you got to get a security detail on that. It's like $23,000 just to get to the airport?
Wow. Yeah, to pay the taxi driver.
I thought $40 was a lot to get from the airport to the center of town. $23,000.
Well, you know, your chances of surviving the journey, it's only like a 23-minute journey. But that's at 200 miles an hour. But your chances of surviving is something like 1 in 5.
I want to also ask our audience to send us an email. Tell me what you think about this. Should I stop banging the table like this throughout the whole show? Or has it become part of the...
It's become a part of your incompetent charm.
Really? I listen to the tapes of the show, and I hear myself banging a lot.
Yeah, you do, and you bang the microphone.
Maybe I should
have
to keep my hands glued to the side of the chair or something.
That's a good idea.
Maybe yeah, I got to hunch over like this. Anyway, I don't think that's going to happen today.
Well, I don't have a problem with my microphone, do I? Because I've got the snazzier one.
Yeah, well, you know, you're all set up over there. You're controlling the board. You control all the technology. I'm just... on the table here.
Without me, you couldn't even go on air because you wouldn't know what to do.
I don't know what to do. Without you, I wouldn't know how to do anything. I'm just like a walking protoplasm of raw nerves in a dented skull, just wandering through life. Stacey just points me in the right direction, and then I go there and I harass somebody there and I harass somebody somewhere else.
In fact, I've convinced you completely, haven't I, that you're on air somewhere.
Yeah, where are we actually on air? ParisLive.net, as if that's an actual website. You know,
you've never even checked it out, have you?
As if we're not just down in the bunker somewhere. You're holding me hostage. I'm being held hostage.
I'm playing
help
sick
me.
Games.
Help me. Hear me. Hear me. Help me.
I'm actually a CIA operative.
What about these electrodes attached to my nipples? Is that part of the game?
Yeah.
You told me that was foreplay, but this is torture.
It's torture.
Am I in Guantanamo Bay?
You could be.
My God. Well, I confess. I confess to all, everything you need. Just, you know, do whatever you want with me. Have your way with me. I confess. I won't confess. I'm not going to confess, so there.
See, you're going crazy. It's working.
I'm not going to confess.
The staring goat. It's working.
I've seen that goat before.
It's been staring at you for the last 2 months.
Somewhere before.
It hasn't blinked at all, has it?
Well, it's all becoming clear now. Well, it's 11:28 in Paris, so let's move on, shall we?
Okay.
The American Constitution no longer protects the unfettered freedom of the press. Period. That is the only conclusion that can be drawn from the remarkable case of the New York Times journalist Judith Miller, who has just begun what is likely to be a 4-month prison term for refusing to reveal her sources for a story that was never published. Protecting the confidentiality of a source, the U.S. courts have ruled, does not outweigh all other considerations. Well, Constitution takes another hit.
They already got rid of eminent domain, freedom of the people, you know, all that kind of stuff.
The founding fathers of America.
At least you still have the right to bear arms.
Yeah. That's about the only thing they got left. So you got freedom of the press has been overturned. You got, what else? All kinds of civil liberties go overturned.
Mm-hmm.
The right to protest, the right to congregate and protest, that's now considered a terrorist act.
The right to think.
The right to exchange ideas on the internet, otherwise known as thinking, of course, has been criminalized by the likes of Microsoft and Disney and the copyright cartel. And the right to assemble, right? We're talking about that. That's now illegal. Can't do that. Can't assemble and protest. Or
habeas corpus. Due process.
That's been overturned. You got to go right into Guantanamo Bay, right?
Yeah.
You don't have due process. No habeas corpus.
Uh-uh.
So what's left of the Constitution? Not much. If you're still living in America, get out! We'll be back with more of the Frick right after this.
Don't touch that dial, or I'll bite you. You're listening to Paris Live Radio.
Paris Live Radio, Le Frick Show, Max and Stacey. Here in Paris, here in Pigalle. Located in a chamber deep down beneath the Moulin Rouge. Yeah, Tony Blair says a terrorist will never destroy what we hold dear. Money. No matter what they do, I'm not gonna give up my perks, my extra paycheck, my speaking fees, my support of global warming, my support of the PPP contractors as taking money from the public domain and putting it into private contractors' pocket. I don't care what they do. They're my friends, those guys, Bin Laden, and we're just a bunch of bankers. And if you don't like it, you can move to France. That's what he said this morning.
Did he say you can move to France?
Yeah, he said, if you don't like it, if you don't like what we're doing to you, stealing all your money and giving it to private contractors and setting it up for these events like yesterday, you can move to France.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he's talking about. He also says that, can you believe that they were disturbing us while we were trying to help Africa? Which is also proven to be a big lie, because you can't help Africa without solving the global warming problem, which they don't care about. You can't help Africa without giving fair trade, which they're not endorsing. So that's a big excuse to get together, drink some.
And selling them 4 times the amount of military equipment as you were 5 years ago does not help Africa.
Yeah, Tony Blair, why don't you stop selling Africans defense, arms.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, why don't you stop selling them the weapons, WMDs? Maybe that'll help him. But no, that would cut into his speaking fees going forward as the savior. Oh, my God. What this guy wrote in yesterday. He's a big fan. Darren Cooper.
You can't say people's names.
Okay, Darren C.
You're supposed to maintain anonymity of your sources.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'm not going to mention what he said then.
Okay.
It's too late. Should I mention what he said? You got me all paranoid now.
I don't know. Well, he'll have to email us again and tell us if it's okay.
All right. Darren, if you're listening, email us again. Tell us if it's okay for us to continue. Or send over a Bolivian hit squad, Colombian hit squad. Oh, well, screw that up. Now, that you sent me this article, which I wasn't really clear what the relevance of it all was. Maybe you can explain this more to me.
Which one's this?
Audit office warns on asylum housing.
Oh, I was just I just pointed that out because in the UK, it's another private finance initiative scam. They're charging like five times the normal rent to asylum seekers, to taxpayers, to pay for the asylum seekers. But anyway,
I get it. Okay,
yeah. I have a good story.
Yeah.
Apparently, yesterday when the bombs went off, right a few minutes before, the British police, Scotland Yard, contacted the Israeli embassy and told them to protect themselves, which they did. They duly did. Netanyahu is apparently in London and was due to speak at an economic conference in the Great Eastern Hotel right above Liverpool Street Station.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny that this seems to be, I know our money tip is coming up in 3 minutes, but this seems to be a good kind of survival tip. Like, become part of the Israeli government, because these guys always seem to get the warnings first. You know, don't make an announcement over the London Underground PA system saying, get out. No. Just warn Netanyahu. Save yourself. Because we have some more, we have the G8 and we have arms deals to sign. We're not going to stop signing these arms deals.
Well, it's the flow of information. He's at the economic conference, right? The flow mm-hmm. of information goes through the economic channels first. Then they go through political channels, public channels second. So the Frick Show, if you try to understand the markets and master the markets, you may have some ability to anticipate where these things are happening and to protect yourself and give yourself a chance of survival. Because if you rely on the politicians to tell you what to do, of course, they're co-opted by business. And business isn't going to tell you what to do because business has taken an adversarial relationship with everybody else who's not on the inside.
But what is this economic conference that was going on in central London when the G8 was up there? Is like the G8 the big Geldofian facade to get confuse people, to make them look the other way?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When actually something else was actually happening in central London?
They don't mention what they were saying in central London?
No. All they say is that it was an economic conference in a hotel over the subway stop where one of the blasts occurred, which I'm assuming it was Liverpool Street Station because there's a hotel right above it called the Great Eastern Hotel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if anybody is working at the Great Eastern Hotel, and you can tell us what kind of economic conference was going to happen there.
Really? We want more details.
We want more details.
Send us an email at lefrickshow@gmail.com.
We've got listeners in the CIA, actually. Maybe they can send us an email.
Yeah,
if you're
really
working for the CIA, and we know you're listening, just send us an email and tell us.
Yeah, we look at our traffic reports, and how many hits do we get from Langley?
It's almost all from Langley.
We get like 50 people logging in from Langley a day.
It's crazy.
Wow. Well, they're looking for good money tips, you know? Just because you work at the CIA doesn't mean you're not looking for good money tips.
No, those guys are smart.
Just because they don't, you know, just because you work at the CIA doesn't mean you like a good entertaining radio show.
They're the ones taking down Bush. They're the ones giving all this information about Karl Rove and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true. They're leaking everything left and right.
They've got taps on everybody.
Why don't you leak some stuff through this show? We'll leak some stuff for y'all. CIA, send us some good juicy leaks. Put it through this show. We'll help you out. We know you got an adversarial position against your boss in the White House.
And please don't offer us any private flights on your private jets, okay? we're happy to walk.
Yeah, we don't need to be extraordinarily rendered anywhere. We can walk. We got two good feet. Well, apparently, speaking of shady deals, this guy Tom DeLay, majority leader, he's donated $25,000 to an energy company so that he could attend a golf outing.
No, they gave him $25,000
right.
to attend a golf outing in Scotland.
Oh, my God. So this is the money tip. Get closer to Tom DeLay. The guy is just bleeding money.
Yeah, and apparently that money, that $25,000, came from that lobbyist who stole the money from the Indians. Remember, and called them like troglodytes and what else did he call them? Monkeys?
Really?
Yeah, in internal emails, probably discovered by our friends at the CIA. But this lobbyist, and the lobbyists were in the news in the last 2 weeks, of course, because apparently it's the size of the lobby groups in Washington has doubled under Bush. Mm. One of these lobbyists working for the American Indians, some tribe, stole a whole bunch of money from them and gave some of it to Tom DeLay.
Well, it marks the first time a company has publicly admitted to donating to DeLay's political action committee in exchange for favors. Wow.
So you've got Tom DeLay giving favors for political action committees, lobbyists, You've got Karl Rove committing an act of treason, turning over CIA agents. You know, our buddies at the CIA being outed.
That must hurt.
Yeah, by Karl Rove. Yeah, it must hurt that some big, fat, like, ugly man who pretends to be an evangelical Christian, you know, outs one of their agents for just for, you know, some political gain.
If you lost $8.8 billion, do you think, you know...
Another Bushite. It has to be somebody related to Bush.
At the end of the Iraq War, vast sums of money were made available to the U.S.-led provisional authorities, headed by Paul Bremer.
Did he check behind the sofa?
To spend on rebuilding the country. By the time Bremer left the post 8 months later, $8.8 billion of that money had disappeared.
Where is Bremer? He's a B. He's a neo-B. Where did he go?
Bremer.
He must be in Bermuda or the Bahamas. What other B is there? This is the answer. I always look for a B country.
Brunei.
He could be in Bahrain.
Well, apparently there's $8.8 billion missing. You know, when you think about Africa, they want to forgive how much in debt for Africa. They work out the numbers, $1.1
billion.
Mm-hmm. Shake out the numbers, right? Here, they go to Scotland. They have a G8. They have a Live 8. They spend all this money preparing for this. Think of all the carbon they abuse getting this thing going. Think of all the carbon abuse for Live 8. They spend weeks and months preparing for this. They give away the tickets. They have the event. It all works out to a $1.something billion giveaway. Meanwhile, in Iraq, Paul Bremer lost $8.8 billion. You know? Well, you know,
it kind of puts that into context.
Why? That's what I'm talking about. Why not just have accurate accounting? This would get rid of a lot of the problems, get rid of a lot of the manipulations, get rid of a lot of the events like we saw yesterday in London. It has to do with sloppy accounting and market manipulation.
Yeah, but it also puts this whole triumphalism into context. These guys are like, "Woo, we're saving $1.5 billion a year. It's amazing. It's so much money." And they're like, on the other side, they're saying, "Oops, oh, damn, Do you know where my $8.8 billion is?
I had it on the bar a minute ago, and now it's gone."
Oh, damn, we're going to have to go steal some more money from our taxpayers.
What the hell is wrong with these people? No wonder this Africans are starving to death. The environment's collapsing. Well, of course, KPMG, one of the accounting firms, is giving this a low priority. They don't see it as being an important thing. Of course, $8 billion is not a big priority for them. They've got bigger fish to fry because they've got situations where people are losing $80 billion, $800 billion. What's a mere $8.8 billion to KPMG? They lose that every day. Just another day at the office. My God. It's totally mismanaged. There's the ghosts. I see ghosts in the studio floating about. Here's another interesting tidbit from today's morning newspapers here on Paris Live Radio, The Frick Show. The West turns a blind eye as police put Saddam's torturers back to work. Did you see this story?
I saw the headline. I don't think I read the story yet.
Iraqi security forces set up by American and British troops torture detainees by pulling out their fingernails, burning them with hot irons, or giving them electric shocks, Iraqi officials say. Cases have also been recorded of bound prisoners being beaten to death by police.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This seems to be the American tactic anyway. The preferred tactic.
In their haste to put police on the streets to counter the brutal insurgency, Iraq and U.S. authorities have enlisted men trained under Saddam Hussein's regime and versed in torture and abuse, the officials told the Times of London. They said that recruits are also being drawn from the ranks of the outlawed Shia militias. So everyone's back in business.
Yeah.
Saddam is comfortably in prison writing his memoirs, writing a novel, starting a rock band. He's going to go to the next G8 conference. And do his rock band thing.
I think they're called the Giant Underwear.
Saddam's Underwear. Available on eBay. You see, the guards will probably sell Saddam's Underwear on eBay pretty soon.
I bet you are so right.
You know what I'm saying? It'll be on there. You just look up Saddam's Underwear and you see that. He doesn't wear boxers. He wears briefs.
Yeah, I was shocked at that.
White briefs. You thought he'd be a boxers wearing man?
Yeah, I thought he would be a boxers wearing man, but...
Really?
I guess I was wrong.
I don't know. I'm not surprised, really. You know, the big guys, they're insecure about the size of their willies. And they think that perceptually, if you're wearing boxers, it accentuates your willy size. I know I wear Armani briefs, you know, because they're designed in such a way as to make my package look bigger. If you're wearing boxer shorts, you know, you can't really, there's no package differentiation.
Well, it doesn't seem like it does much work, really, boxers, those loose boxers that the Brits are famous for.
It doesn't, really.
I bet Tony Blair wears loose boxers.
Plus, there's the post-peak incontinent thing, you know? I mean, once you get over 19, 20 years old, you know, after you tinkle, there's a few drops that are kind of floating around. In the boxers, that's why I wear black boxers. Not boxers. I'm losing my mind. Black briefs. Black briefs. More about incontinence right after this on The Frick Show. Don't go away.
Paris Live Radio.
It's one nation under groove. It's a big family.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, I prefer these black briefs from Armani. You know, I'm not a boxer shorts wearing guy, really. It's too loose. It's too loose. There's not enough support. I like the support I get with my briefs. I don't like the wiggly waggling down there. And it just, I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, it's okay for sleeping, maybe. But when you're walking around, you know, you just feel like the things are loose.
Well, you could see that on British men. Especially businessmen, when they wear those loose, you know, soft fabric trousers.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe that's the point to wear them. You can see their willies through their trousers.
Yes,
well,
you
maybe
can.
They're showing off their willies.
Sometimes.
You know? I mean, if that's a way to maybe attract the opposite sex or attract the same sex more in London. That's more the case, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
All those public school boys are trying to attract the same sex.
Allegedly.
What do you mean allegedly? What's happened now? Why are we saying allegedly now about puftas in London? I mean, we never said allegedly before. What's going on? Is this the new 7-7 reality?
No.
The events of 7-7?
No, you know that.
Have we make a new reality?
You know the Brits have the worst libel laws, like the most favorable to the rich libel laws in the world. You can't say anything nasty about British people without being sued.
Well, what is it going to be, a class action suit? The entire population of British puffs is going to take us to court because we're making fun of their boxer shorts? Is that what you're saying?
It's been known to happen.
Well, I don't think it has happened. Give me an example of the entire British population suing radio talk show hosts for accusing the men population of being poofs.
There's always a first, honey. There's always a first.
Whoa!
It'll boost our ratings. We'll have more than Langley, Virginia listening in.
Yeah, right now all we got are CIA people listening to this show.
And if the CIA are listening, you know it's worth listening to.
We see you, CIA. You see us, we see you. CIU, CIA, CIS, we see everybody. You see everybody, so do we. So far, all we've been talking about is the markets. The markets are the markets. The prices are the prices. You know, check it out. You already tried to rip me off a couple of years ago with that policy analysis market, CIA people.
No. They're at war with the DIA. The DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, are the ones that try to rip you off. CIA were there protecting you, man. They were telling Donald, hey, that's Max Kaiser's idea. The Kaiser patent 5768444456.
All right, that's great. Well, you know, this show started with carbon trading, and by God, we're going to be talking about carbon trading again right now. Can't talk enough about carbon trading on this show.
I'm sure everybody loves all those noises you're making with your microphone.
I don't know. I'm divided on that.
Send us an email and tell us whether or not you like Max Kaiser's microphone noises.
What about this noise? Remember, I came up with this one. Remember this one?
I think
the
in fact,
best of last year.
That's really, 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 really Buddhist-like.
It's amazing what we can do with a little lamp and a pen. Created a sound effect like that.
You see, the Buddhist teachers in the south of Thailand are carrying guns now.
You told me that.
Yeah.
How come?
In order to protect themselves from Islamic fundamentalists there.
Doesn't that kind of go against the whole thing of, you know, Buddhism thing?
Imagine seeing the Dalai Lama with an Uzi strapped around him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the Dalai Lama. Get out of my way. I'm going to shoot you.
I mean, aren't these guys not even supposed to kill flies?
Yeah, don't they get out of the way of worms? Now they're carrying Uzis? That's a screwed up situation.
You know the whole world.
They won't step on worms, but they'll kill you with an Uzi. That's a bad Buddha. If you see the Buddha on the road, kill him. Now I know why they say that. Old Zen proverb.
Because he'll be packing
an
Uzi.
He's packing a pistol. There's the Buddha. He's packing a pistol. Uh-oh. I sense trouble now. I predict this door will open in a few seconds and we'll be graced by the presence of the Grand Guru. Nope, I was wrong.
He was just going to the bathroom.
Okay. Here we are, hermetically sealed in our little room. So anyway, you wouldn't know it, but overwhelming majority of Americans support the U.S. joining other members of the Group of Eight in limiting greenhouse gas emissions. Now, would you know that by just judging by the words of their fearful leader?
Well, there are many things you would not know if you only listened to their words.
A poll by the Program of International Policy Attitudes, a group called PIPA, Washington-based research group, found that 94% of the respondents said that the U.S. should make efforts to limit greenhouse gas emissions in line with other countries. Three-quarters said that global warming was a problem that should be addressed by world governments. Well, you know, politicians are there to serve the people. People didn't want to go to war. Politicians went to war. People want government to do something about global warming. They're not doing anything about global warming because the government's been co-opted by the corporate agenda, the corporations. So they're not there on behalf of the people. The people don't seem to figure this out yet. People.
Read the Neo Constitution. You know that it's out in your finer bookstores in America. There's a new constitution. You forgot to read it. You still believe in that old thing.
You know, the people, they have this notion that the government's there trying to serve them, but the government's serving the corporation. So it's up to the people to take back the corporation, the government.
Same thing.
It's up to the people to get active. So this is why, you know, the protesters are up there in Scotland protesting against the G8 because the G8 is basically one big corporate agenda. But then you've got these celebrities embedded who are supporting the bad guys. So it makes it all very confusing. So they're vilifying the people who are actually trying to fight for their individual rights to live in a world that's not corrupted by greenhouse gases and pollution brought on by the corporate agenda. Now, you know. The fact is, according to the Independent today, it's time to go on a low-carbon diet. The G8 summit is due to release its final communique on climate change today, but unless it recommends rationing carbon, it's not worth the paper it's written on. Okay? Nobody thinks government will be prepared to limit choice glibly and outrageously, assuming that we are too selfish to save the planet. You know, this is what the government will say. The government will say, the people don't really want to save the planet. People want to consume themselves to death. And we're making it easier for them to do so. That's what the government says. The government controls the media outlets, and that message is perpetrated throughout the globe. Meanwhile, you do a poll and you ask people, by the way, would you sign on to carbon rationing? 94% say, yeah, we'll do it. People don't own the media. They don't own the government. They don't own the Wall Street. They don't own the city. But they assume all the risk. Got to go on a low-carbon diet, says Mayor Hillman today in the Independent newspaper. It talks about the Olympics being a big, you know, carbon-guzzling nightmare. There's nothing in there to do anything about the carbon. There's no carbon offset. He talks about carbon rationing and carbon trading. And in the final minutes of this show, let's just review a little bit on carbon rationing and carbon trading for those of you who are just joining us, why this is a good idea. Carbon rationing will allow individuals to choose the way that suits them best to reduce their emissions, whether that's through buying into energy-saving measures or through lifestyle changes such as holiday-making closer to home. Trading on the carbon market will encourage this, as people opting for lower carbon lifestyles will be rewarded by being able to sell their spare rations, the value of which will rise steadily as the yearly ration is reduced. The process creates an ecologically virtuous cycle. And that's basically all you need to know about global warming. If you cap the amount of emissions that industry can generate, and you create a carbon trading scheme that incentivizes industry to reduce their carbon output because they don't want to pay for these caps, these credits, you've created an ecological virtuous cycle where it's in their best interest to emit less carbon to qualify for more credits. You see? Using markets to fight markets. We're not anti-capitalists. We're pro-capitalists. We want more balanced markets. Carbon trading is a more balanced market. 94% of people want something about this problem. Politicians think that by limiting carbon, you're limiting GDP growth. And therefore, you're limiting the ability for them to make money at our expense. Well, they should be limited in their ability to make money at our expense. We see the result of their model yesterday in London at Liverpool Street Station. That's what their model produces. Dead people. That's part of the banking wars that are going on between Bank of England, Federal Reserve Bank, and the Bank of Bin Laden. They're all competing market manipulations with each other. They all got to go. Can't pick one or the other. They all stink. Alan Greenspan, Bin Laden, Bush, Blair, Brown, Bono, Geldof. They all stink. Get rid of them all. The way you do it, make markets more efficient. Give the people what they want. Less carbon. People want less carbon in their lives. That's what the polls overwhelmingly show. You can recalibrate markets to make this happen. Create a virtuous ecological cycle. It's within reach. Yes, that's been it for this week. Another week of the Frick Show is coming to a close. We're heading out back up to the Fifth Arrondissement. We'll see you next Monday. Hoping your weekend is lots of fun. Until then, this is Max and Stacey saying bye, y'all.